that's acoustic blues singer and songwriter. I'm getting a lot of feedback on my end here, and I'm going to fix it right now. I just did. That's acoustic blues singer, songwriter, and, just so you know, godson of Paul Robeson, Eric Bibb, with Don't You Ever Let Nobody Drag Your Spirit Down. It's from his 1997 album, Good Stuff. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and I'm trying to just get a handle on technology. Bear with me and pray for me. I just can't figure these things out. Okay. Well, we're going to build on the question I posed yesterday, and we're going to build on it by adding more to the question about the so-called act of terror committed by alleged ISIS associate Saifulo Habibulevich Saipov. I think I got all that right. In Lower Manhattan on Halloween, Saipov, as you recall from news reports, was driving a rented truck and mowed down people as he ripped through a mile-long bike path. 8 people were killed. 12 others were wounded. The attack is considered the largest in the United States since the Al-Qaeda directed September 11th, 2001 suicide attacks on the World Trade Center. I'd questioned yesterday why Saipov's act is strictly being described as terrorism. And I want to build on that today because it turns out it's a very important question. And I'll direct your attention to that in a minute. I was arguing yesterday that by describing his act as an act of terror, and that is a consistent description, we are, as the public, we are encouraged to see it just as that. No other dimension than just that. It's just an act of terror. And I did see several mentions of the phrase that we had encountered in discussing the mass killing out in Las Vegas. They even mentioned lone wolf. So our knowledge of this event is that some guy just popped up somewhere after being interviewed at the hospital. Allegedly, he described himself, or he was described by people speaking to the media as an associate of ISIS. I don't know what that is. I don't know the different levels, you know, within the ranks of ISIS. But that's how they said, that's how they described him. He was an associate of ISIS in carrying out this tragic calamity here. Okay, so we are already framed. The whole thing is framed within the context of an act of terror and ISIS. And he allegedly asked, while in the hospital being treated for a gunshot wound to the abdomen, the information we are fed is that he asked for an ISIS flag. Okay. We know Islam is involved because that's his name. And we know that there is a great deal of concern that we, the public, understand this to be an act of terror by a group accustomed to inflicting terror. All right. My position was that it isn't just an act of terror, nor are the other incidents like it just acts of terror, but in fact, acts of war. When he did this deed, he was acting as a conscript, a soldier, in an organization that is now understood to be seeking its own caliphate. It has its own mission, and it has been engaging in acts of war, as if, as any other country, bona fide country, would. They have an army. They have people all over the globe strategically placed, and they're conducting warfare. Not terrorism, but the terrorism that they're conducting is warfare. And we need to understand that. We miss a lot if we don't understand that. They are conducting and have been conducting warfare, but a special kind of warfare, asymmetrical warfare, meaning it doesn't look anything familiar to anybody who has observed how wars are executed or prosecuted. They don't have a country, but they have a country. They don't have a standing army, but they have an army. This is what, how they have configured themselves. They're nowhere and they're everywhere. They don't have a set way of doing things, a predictable way of doing things. This is the nature of asymmetrical warfare. The United States fights wars symmetrically. You know, you have the battleships, you have, you know, an army, you have the Air Force, you have the Navy, and you have different divisions that specialize in different things, and they have rule books, and that's how they function. These folks are not of that type. And yes, we cannot deny that what was witnessed on Halloween was indeed, undeniably, an act of terror. No question about it. And so, if we put some elastic here, you don't have to agree with what they're doing or disagree with what they're doing. All I'm asking is that you look at this thing objectively, and then we can ask a whole bunch of other questions. And the whole bunch of other questions rest on this essential thing of the definition of what happened in Lower Manhattan on Halloween, where you have 12 people wounded, you have 8 people killed. And the insistence by the authorities, from the mayor to the president, everybody's calling this an act of terror, and that's where they're leaving it. Well, I tell you, my jaw dropped when I read an article that appeared late yesterday, early today. The article talks about President Trump considering consigning Mr. Saipov to Guantanamo Bay, the prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. As you know, it doesn't have a great reputation, but it is where people like Mr. Saipov are sent. All right? So here is Donald Trump saying that he ought to go there. He's already put out there that Saipov should be given the death penalty, and there's this kind of talk about the act of terror that he committed. And here is an interesting thing that was reported in this news article. And I'm going to read this excerpt. I'm not going to read the whole article, but I'm going to read this excerpt. Trump's suggestion, and that is the suggestion of taking Saipov, sending Saipov to Guantanamo. Trump's suggestion about sending Saipov to Gitmo came after Senator John McCain of Arizona and Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina called on the president to treat the alleged attacker as an enemy combatant. Let me read that again. Trump's suggestion about sending Saipov to Gitmo came after Senator John McCain of Arizona and Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina called on the president to treat the alleged attacker as an enemy combatant. Whoa! That is big. That's a big change, isn't it? So he's not just a terrorist, he is now an attacker. And he is to be treated, according to these senators who sit on the Arms Committee, as an enemy combatant. And this is coming from Senator John McCain, who himself was a prisoner of war. He knows a thing or two about war. And he is recognizing Saipov, and he's saying that the country, the president, meaning the country, essentially, must accord this man the rights and privileges that are due an enemy combatant. He is invoking here the rules of war. This is not a terrorist alone. He's recognizing this man as a soldier in carrying out an act of war. Let me read further. Quote, "The terrorist attack in New York is the latest brutal, horrific example of the war that radical Islamist extremists are waging against our nation and our way of life." From Orlando to San Bernardino and Boston to Manhattan, we must not consider these attacks on our homeland in isolation, but rather recognize them for what they are, acts of war. As such, the New York terror suspect should be held and interrogated thoroughly, responsibly, and humanely as an enemy combatant consistent with the law of armed conflict. He should not be read Miranda rights, as enemy combatants are not entitled to them. As soon as possible, the administration should notify Congress how it plans to proceed with the interrogation and trial of this suspect. What did I say? He recognizes this. This is an act of war. This is no ordinary act. Even if, you know, it would appear so in the sense that here's another act of terrorism. No. It is not an act of terrorism alone. It involves terrorism, no doubt. But anybody could see that as an act of war. And here we have McCain, and we have Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, two senators invoking what I said. He's an enemy combatant. This is an act of war. An entirely different scenario occurs right here, right now. He's not to be in the clutches of the New York Police Department, because that presumes it's a local matter. It is not. As an act of war, we are in a very different territory. But I was stunned to see this. That we have McCain and we have Lindsey Graham, who are saying this is an act of war. And it isn't the only act of war that has occurred on U.S. soil. The 9/11 attacks were acts of war, not terrorism. Why then is the United States not referring to these things as acts of war? That was my question. They're not referring to it as acts of war because they have to admit, they will then have to admit, this is a war. And they will not want to upgrade. They do not want to acknowledge ISIS as an enemy. You see, that would be promoting this ramshackle lot to elevate them. The whole idea is to ignore them and to dismiss them. And these acts, in part, are to send a message. No matter what you think about us, we are a ragtag crew, but we mean business, and we are capable now. We have reached a point of critical mass that we could bring the war to you, no matter what you think. You see, this is the essence of this asymmetrical war that they're waging. And people are not getting the point. I mean, when McCain has to point out that this man is not a terrorist per se, but it is important to recognize he is an enemy combatant. You don't have enemy combatants where there is no war. And he says, and I quote, he says we should recognize them. These attacks, let me just fill out the quote here. These attacks, he quotes, from Orlando, to San Bernardino and Boston to Manhattan, we must not consider these attacks on our homeland in isolation, but rather recognize them for what they are, acts of war. All these things that have been going on, they keep telling us it's terrorism. Oh, and we've got the terrorist over here, and we found that terrorist over there. Everybody could rest easy and have a nice dinner. I am saying to you, we have been at war. Everything screams it. But the government would not admit it, because now they will have to go to a whole different level that they are not willing to go to, and that is accountability. By refusing to recognize these things as acts of war, and instead put them in a category called terrorism, everything is terrorism, then you don't have to worry much beyond catching the individuals, putting them on trial, as they have in Boston. Just put them on trial. And then you're guaranteed a sentence and they go to jail. It's over, it's a wrap, it's done. But of course it isn't. These are all acts of war. And now we have to ask the question, do you think these acts are in isolation? This is what McCain's point was. I mean, it was just like he was in my brain. He says these are not to be seen as acts of isolation, acts in isolation, I should say. These are all acts of war. And whether the government recognizes or does not recognize these acts as acts of war, it's to our collective peril. I mean, you're talking all about your vetting and extreme vetting. The man was right here, living in Paterson, New Jersey. When he got tired of that, he would move to Florida. He had a business. He was among us. The fungus was among us. With all the stuff that you're talking about protecting the homeland is wide open. And if you think that this is just a ragtag crew, and they don't amount to much, because we have, as you remember, the mother of all bombs, which, by the way, that was an act of war, although they said it wasn't. By international rules of warfare, what happened in Lower Manhattan, September, the 9/11 attacks, these are all acts of war. So I feel really good about the fact that somebody recognized this and spoke publicly about it. Because we're being conned, you see. And for no reason other than the government does not want to admit its shortfalls. It doesn't want to admit that in fighting this kind of terrorism, which has visited this country several times, acts of war have been directed at the United States from within the United States by these asymmetrical warriors several times. McCain named some of them, from Orlando to San Bernardino and Boston, the Boston Marathon. These were all acts of war. And let me bring it even closer to home. Staff Sergeant, the name is slipping me now. I'm becoming like Trump. The staff sergeant who died, I'll remember his name in a minute, David Johnson, that's it. David Johnson, who died in Niger, he was engaged in acts of war. The people who killed him were people affiliated. They were like the local affiliate of ISIS. They attacked him. The understanding there for that whole scenario there was that they were both enemy combatants. Sergeant Johnson was sent to Niger as an enemy combatant. He was not an advisor. He was not an observer. You see, the dishonesty has ripple effects. He was sent there, that group was sent there to inflict terror. They weren't there to observe anything. And in the end, it came down to a blistering gunfight between the two sides of this war. Now, that is the real explanation for the death of LeDavid Johnson. You're going to tell me, I'm going back to the 9/11. You have planes literally running into buildings, blowing them up, costing almost 3,000 lives. And you're going to sell me the crap that this was terror? This was terrorism? No, this was war. This was war. All these things that have happened that appear to be the deeds of miscreant terrorists were in fact and are in fact, my view, acts of war. So let us stop with the crap and tell the people what's going on. And already, you know, we see how this was so very well crafted so that the people are totally ignorant of it. Even members of Congress didn't know that we have been engaging in acts of war, and in return, we have been on the receiving end of acts of war, which means this is not isolated stuff going on. This is tit-for-tat warfare. One side fighting according to established rules of war. The other side doesn't care about that. They are waging an asymmetrical war wherever they are. They don't have a country, as I said, but they have a country. because they're in Nigeria, they're everywhere. They're in Niger. They're all over the place. They don't, they don't have rules that they follow. They're not playing by the rules. This is the thing that is the real terror. And the other part of that is that the United States can't catch up to people who are waging asymmetrical war. They haven't had a good history with that. They got tanks. They have aircraft, gunships. They have warships. They have all kinds of stuff to win any kind of war. Except with this group, you can't figure out where the enemy is, but it's coming to you. It's coming to you. And it is important to pay attention to the message, the implicit message of the attack on Halloween, is that we are right here in the shadow of where we were before. And you still didn't find us until we made ourselves known. This guy is not high on the chain, the military chain of ISIS or whatever he is supposed to be. He's dispensable. So all of this energy pumped into making him the symbolic, the emblem of terrorism. No, he's just one of those guys who signs up because, well, he feels committed, but he's totally disposable. ISIS doesn't care whether he gets shot or killed. They care only that he carries out his mission. This is asymmetrical warfare. We saw this so long ago, not so long ago, in the Vietnam War. The Americans came with everything and a bag of chips to fight the enemy. The average American soldier was walking around or carrying around between 25 pounds and more per day of ammunition. The person on the other side had one bullet per day. And that, of course, naturally led to a decision: they cannot fight by the same rules. They have to adopt different ways to attack their enemy. So they made use of everything, including what poisonous snakes and bamboo pits and all kinds of things that they did to kill off American soldiers. As you know, the record shows America didn't win that war. So here we are, and this is now the point of the discussion yesterday. So now let's say the government understands and is going to admit that these, in fact, were acts of war. What should the government have done? What is the obligation now to LaDavid Johnson and his other fellow soldiers who were killed in something that was not described as an act of war? They were not there to engage in warfare. That's what the government said. So you see, you asked a question,
You observe what is being said, and you're being lied to. We are all being lied to. The attitudes of New Yorkers, the very next day, the headlines in the Daily News and the New York Post referenced, you know, the resilience of New Yorkers. Because the police stepped in, they got their man. And terrorism is over. We got that problem under control in less than a day. Meanwhile, we should at least, as residents of the city of New York and other cities that are likely to be targets or that are likely to have infrastructure and things within them that are likely to be targets, and we should be aware that the United States is at war and that we have been struck several times already. But they look like a guy who shows up at a discotheque and starts shooting people. Some kind of a nut. They look like a guy who shows up at a marathon and puts a bomb in a knapsack. That's what the war is looking like, but it isn't just an act of terror. So we have some time that you can call in at 888-874-4888 and just express what you think. Now that I have read this statement by Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham, they used the exact phraseology I used, act of war, enemy combatant. You don't have any of these things prevailing without, in fact, a war. So they are acknowledging it. Why isn't the government as a whole acknowledging it? 888-874-4888. We're closing in on the end of the program, I'm sorry to say, but I just needed to bring this to your attention because it was a valid point. It still is a valid point. And we should see the connections. See the connections. And not let the government get over us. Now, as it turns out, I can't see anything on my screen here. So you'll have to tell me if there's somebody on, and we can take the call. All right, so for yourself, now that we have discussed this and now that we have established that we are officially at war, we know that the United States has been assisting the bombing or other attacks on ISIS and ISIS-related strongholds outside of the United States. But the issue is that they're here. And they have visited, they have come here. The biggest attack so far is an attack on the World Trade Center. But they have been here. They have been among us. All right, I don't see the names. I don't see anything. So maybe by some means, I'm talking now to the engineer.
Jay from New York. I see.
All right. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrecht. It's Jay from New York.
Thank you.
Act of war. Who's to say that it is an act of war on the part of the individual that committed this act in New York, but it's not an act of war by the individual who committed the act in Las Vegas, where there was 58 casualties in comparison to there was just 8 casualties in New York. And it seems like based on the response of the wingnut in the White House, one would think that there was more casualties in New York than there was in Las Vegas, because from my recollection, the manner in which he spoke of the person in Las Vegas and the manner in which he spoke of the person in New York is totally different. One would think the one in Las Vegas was a saint compared to
the one in
New York.
I want you to move away from the number of casualties as a measurement of the seriousness of the act. The number of casualties has nothing. What I want to draw your attention to is this. You will notice there's no coverage, really, going on anymore about Las Vegas.
Right.
Okay. You'll notice also that we have also, despite the fact there's no coverage, there is a silence also, not just in the media, but in law enforcement and in those arenas where we expect to get some information. We haven't gotten much information for quite some time now. So we just need to watch that, because there may be something there that needs to be found out.
Well, it seems like now this is going to go into overdrive in regards to the New York incident for whatever reason. I really don't know, because who's to say that this individual was really involved with ISIS? Who's
well,
to
he
really
said
say so.
So? He said
he
so.
He said so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He had a note.
It may be.
There was a note retrieved from the truck, the front seat of the truck, of course.
Who's to say, honestly, Eutrice, that the note wasn't planted? Who's to say that it isn't a form of a propaganda with what's going on in regards to this clown in office? We don't know. This to me seems like something that comes out of the Alex Jones book. I mean, it really just seems a little quite, it just seems like.
All right, let me ask you.
Now,
did you, at the time that it happened, did you consider that the Boston Marathon bombing was possibly an act of war?
It could be, but I think these
no,
are
no, no, no. I'm asking you at the time that it happened. Did you
consider it an act of war? No.
No. Okay. Exactly, because it was terrorism, and it stopped there.
Yeah, but
when
we
look at
terrorism as an act of war. Now,
I'm sorry?
Is that how we're going to define terrorism from this day forward, as an act of war instead of simply a form of terrorism?
No, but what we are going to say is that, like the brothers, the Tsarnaev brothers, who were later found to have had connections with the Chechen War, they were just looked upon as a bunch of two guys looking to make mischief.
Okay, Detrice, let me ask you this. This would clarify a lot. Let's say 15 years from now, a child that grows up that parents were killed by the U.S., let's say over in Afghanistan, and somehow they get here to America and they commit an act. How do we define that at that point? a terrorist
because you
act
can, you
or
can
act
investigate.
Of war.
Because you can investigate. These things do not happen in a vacuum. As with this young man who mowed
but
down these people. No, it's not different at all.
I'll tell you why
it's a matter of investigation.
I'll tell you why. There is a difference. The difference is that would be seen as a reform of retaliation for the death of one parent compared to an individual from Uzbekistan who really has no sort of beef against Americans other than some twisted ideology.
Now there you are wrong. Now there you might be wrong. Because you have to understand where people are coming from in this business now of asymmetrical warfare. They would choose somebody. He was squeaky clean, really, except for a traffic problem where he did not appear in court and forfeited $200 for a traffic ticket in Minnesota. But other than that, there was nothing there. Nothing there. Do you feel that Lee Harvey Oswald actually killed John F. Kennedy?
Not at all.
Okay. So he didn't have any reason to be a suspect, but he was.
Yeah, but there's a difference of a retaliation against the death of one parent.
No. You see, you're mixing things up here. It's not about finding out whether your motivation was retaliation or your motivation was anger. That is unimportant. The fact is, what was your role? And in what capacity were you serving when you did whatever it is you did? He said he was described as an ISIS associate. Well, let's believe him. And regard both the act and the actor within that context. So you're not just a crazy drunk driver mowing people down. You are a person on a mission who has been taught to use a vehicle as a weapon. And you're doing this in service of a group officially classified by the United States and much of the world as a terrorist organization. And ISIS itself has said it has established a caliphate. So there you are. It's an act of war.
Okay. Have a good day.
All right. 888-874-4888. We have a short amount of time, a couple of minutes left, if I can figure out who is on. All right. Well, then I'll wrap up. This is important to evaluate. And again, it's not just from my head. It is now a former prisoner of war is suggesting to the United States to behave with respect to Mr. Saparov, to treat him and accord him all of the rights under international laws of war. That is so significant. Because now we have to ask our government, why have you not been open and honest about the fact that you feel that you're not able to confront this kind of warfare, so you shut up about it? You are behind this whole idea of asymmetrical warfare. You can't move fast enough. You can't catch up. They actually have scored points against the United States several times in terms of warfare. But the United States prefers not to acknowledge that and prefers to categorize these incidents as terrorism. That's a big scandal right there. That's a major, major scandal. And we need to have answers about that. Because, again, just recently on October the 4th, we got the latest reminder that this is not about terrorism. They were not, these troops were not sent in Niger and other far-flung places where there are ISIS and other terrorist-type strongholds to combat terrorism. They're there engaging in warfare. Those were the circumstances under which LaDavid Johnson died and his fellow soldiers, all four of them. And that is the connection. That is the connection. So thank you so much for bearing with me. And we're having a little trouble today with our technical stuff, but it's getting fixed. Even as I speak, I just wasn't able to see some of the names and so forth. But we go ahead and we do our job. Tomorrow, as you know, is Free Your Mind Friday. You can certainly pursue this and other questions as usual, other issues that you would like to get an airing of. And I so enjoy that, and I look forward to talking with you again tomorrow. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. And you can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Bye-bye. With the way the wind blows, let nobody...